Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. Whether it's Hops on High, the Doodah Parade, or ComFest, there's no shortage of events taking place in Columbus's Short North neighborhood. These events require additional public safety, rerouting traffic, and more. And while they provide a chance to highlight the city and offer an economic boost, they can also take a toll on the patience of Short North residents. The Short North is home to more than 300 businesses and many festivals, but it's also home to residents who live in the area, this area that is north of the Arena District and south of Ohio State's campus. The number and scope of events in the neighborhood was the focus of a Columbus Underground opinion piece by David Hunanya, an activist, developer, and Short North resident who joins us now. Welcome to All Sides, David.
Hi, Anne.
So in the Short North, the Short North neighborhood, you've lived there for a while. Tell us how long you've lived there and how it has evolved over time.
Oh, sure, sure. Thank you, by the way, for having me.
Of course.
So my wife and I, we've been in the Short North for about 25 years now. The first 5 years, we were on High Street, which was a ton of fun. Maybe a little too much fun from time to time. And then we decided to move to German Village. We lived in German Village for about 2 years and decided, and don't get me wrong, love German Village as well, decided that we really appreciate the energy of the Short North and wanted to go back. And about, oh, I don't know, call it 16 or 18 years ago, bought a home in Italian Village and have been there ever since. Love the community, love the energy. It's the reason we live here in the neighborhood. And you know, it's interesting. I joke with a lot of friends and family from around the country. And I tell them, like, if you are visiting Ohio, if you're visiting the Midwest, you have to visit the Short North. I mean, I love it that much.
Yeah. The neighborhood has evolved over time. I mean, if you started there so many years ago, do you feel like what's the vibe of the neighborhood compared to a couple decades ago?
Sure. Oh, you know, it's certainly evolved. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, when we were call it 20 plus years ago, when we were living on High Street, we you know, Gallery Hop was actually galleries,
yeah.
and not restaurants.
I remember,
right?
Yeah.
And loved that and miss it, you know, but the spirit's still there, you know, the creativity is still there, the energy is still there. And that's why we're still there, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. So, as a longtime Short North resident, you've seen your share of events, and you wrote this piece for Columbus Underground, and you wrote that you are experiencing festival fatigue. Can you tell me why you chose that phrase?
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Because so Walker at Columbus Underground.
Walker Evans.
Yeah, Walker Evans, yes.
Yeah.
We've been friends.
The man behind the Underground, yeah.
Yes, oh yeah. He's a good friend. I've known him for years.
Mm-hmm.
I told him I was thinking about an opinion piece and specific to festivals in the Short North. And it was right around the time of, and I hate to call out a specific festival, but mm-hmm. Taco Fest.
Mm.
And I said, hey, what would this make sense? And he said, absolutely. And then I reached out to a few neighbors and even asked the question, would this make sense to write a piece on festival fatigue? And it was actually one of my neighbors, Jeff Kennedy, who came up with the phrase festival fatigue.
Mm.
And I just asked him, I'm like, yeah, can I borrow that?
So what have your neighbors told you about the quality of life in the Short North? Because in the article, you allude to this growing sense that many of the events have nothing to do with the neighborhood, right? So you write, you know, that the neighborhood is Pride and the Doodah Parade and ComFest, but some of these other events that have come to Goodale Park and the Short North, maybe not so much.
Correct. Yeah, you know, and again, I hate to call them out specifically, but Taco Fest, I just don't understand the connection.
Mm-hmm.
The Color Run, I don't know if you remember that. Mm-hmm. But the Color Run?
Yeah.
I'll give you an okay, I'll tell you a little
story. The Color Run is when you run around and they throw like powdered colored dye on you as you run and you wear all white. Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild. It's really cool visually.
Yeah.
But, it's like a baby powder that's like
mm-hmm.
dyed bright colors. I have a couple of friends who own shops in the Short North and they said, oh my gosh, we dread the Color Run. And the reason they do is because, and I never thought about this, when these runners are done with their races, they'll go to the restaurants and they'll go to the shops, and they sort of carry that powder in with them.
Yeah.
And it, you know, makes for, like, you know, extra cleanup. But, you know, so Color Run, Taco Fest, I just find it challenging. Like, because, you know, to your point, Doodah, Pride, especially Pride, it's in our DNA as a neighborhood, as a community. And they need to be there still. I don't understand how Taco Fest should exist in that neighborhood.
So you basically wrote in your piece that you want to spread the wealth. Every event doesn't have to be in the Short North and doesn't have to mean closing all the roads around Goodale Park. So are you saying that there's just other neighborhoods in Columbus that maybe people don't think of to have some of these festivals?
Sure. So there's a couple of ways, you know, at least in my mind, a couple of ways we could rethink, I guess, how we do festivals. Mm-hmm. Comfest, for example. I love Comfest. I think it's a great event. I think it's a great group of organizers. But if you think about their purpose, their mission, their values, they exist to help support communities. Mm. And I think there's more there are other communities that could use support. You know, so Southern Orchards, for example, give them some exposure by hosting an event there instead of Short North, for example.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about whether the Short North has become festival fatigued with David Hunanya, an activist, a developer, and a Short North resident. Would you like to see the number of events taking place in the Short North reduced overall, or you want them curated more?
You know what? Great question. Curated, for sure. And the reason I say that is because I love the festivals. Mm-hmm. I love the energy that the festivals bring to the community. What I don't love, trash, noise, traffic. But you know what? Hey, we can work through that. That's not a big deal to me. But how do we do a better job at curating events that make sense for the community? And how do we bring events that are additive and bring value to the community, not just extract value from the community?
Now, whenever you talked with your neighbors before you wrote this piece, and probably after you had the piece published, I'm sure people were talking to you about it. What are the feelings about the road closures, the loss of parking, the influx of thousands of people for like a few hours and then they all leave? What's that like for living there?
Sure. And you know, all of my neighbors, we all know we knew what we were getting ourselves into when we bought our homes, right?
Yeah.
We knew that Comfest would be a challenge. As a matter of fact, I'll give you a really quick funny story. About, call it 4 or 5 years ago, it's 2:30 a.m. on a Sunday morning. I'm asleep. My wife and I are asleep. And all of a sudden, my iPhone buzzes and lights up on my nightstand. And I look at it, and it's my next-door neighbor texted me. He's like, hey, you may want to look outside. Like, why do I need to look outside? So I look outside, I look out my front window, and there's a group of people who are, and they're not causing any problems, but they're sitting in my front yard in a circle, and they're doing spoken word, which is like, okay, cool.
but I live here.
Right. And there's a park right down the street. Yeah. So why not use the park? But I don't want to be the grumpy old guy that says, get off my lawn at the same time.
But literally, you wanted them off your lawn.
Exactly.
So do you know, once a festival is permitted, do you know how event organizers decide to stage it? I mean, do the residents have any say about which streets are closed, or do you get a warning of like, get your car out if you need it, that kind of thing?
Yeah. excuse me. It's interesting. There are some event organizers who will do that, right? They'll be proactive and say, okay, we're doing street closures. Italian Village Festival, I'm sorry, Italian Festival by the Italian Church.
Okay,
they do a good job. They even put out trash cans. They'll try to let the community know, like, hey, here's what to expect. But you know, the vast majority, no, they don't. But you know, with that said, and I'll give you another example. When I when my partners and I bought a building on High Street, we had to go to the Italian Village Commission a number of times to present our plans for redevelopment. Could there be a Short North Festival Commission?
Like present the plans.
Yeah. And tell the community why you believe your festival adds value. How are you bringing, you know, either dollars or people, or, you know, how do you become additive and not extractive? And let the community decide. Does Taco Fest, for example, deserve to take place in the Short North?
Taco Fest sounds like it was the straw that broke the camel's back for you. Yeah.
You know, and you know, I think about, again, going back to Taco Fest, why not, okay, Columbus Commons, for example. We took a Columbus City Center, 1.25 million square feet of space, and we took that building down, removing tens of thousands of tons of steel, glass, brick, tile, concrete. We put all that into a landfill, and in order to build a park, purpose built to be an event venue. Why not use that for Taco Fest? And here's the other thing, you with the Columbus Commons, everyone can participate because you've got public transportation coming at that park in every single direction.
Yeah.
So,
now, have you read the comments on your opinion piece? Because it came out a little while ago. So there's lots of comments that and lots of dialogue that's happened there. I read more than one comment from residents saying that they don't mind the festivals, but it's the road races that have gotten out of control. Do you agree with that?
I do. I do 100%. I hear it at night on, you know, weekend nights. Luckily, my wife and I live off of High Street a few blocks. But yeah, it's a challenge. As a matter of fact, I spoke with Zach, the city attorney, about it a few times, and he's also expressed frustration.
So, but whenever I read about the road races, I read it as two ways. So there's one, like road races where people are literally driving their cars recklessly up High Street, right? But then there's also like races like the marathon and the color run that you mentioned. And so there's a lot. If you're planning a race that involves Columbus, people run through the Short North, right? Is that very disruptive to people who live there?
Incredibly disruptive, but we understand, you know, Columbus Marathon, as an example, we get it and love it. I mean, we go out and cheer people on. Color run, same thing, you know.
But a little too dirty for you. Yeah.
but those are well-organized events, though, so.
And they're over by noon, usually. Yeah. They're all in the morning. Yeah. Okay, well, do you feel, as someone who's lived in the Short North for a while, it's gone through different phases. Do you feel right now, as it stands, is the Short North a safe community?
I believe so. Absolutely. I know people who do not live in the Short North have a different perception of the community, but I consider it one of the safest places in Ohio.
Now, we're going to be talking with the executive director of the Short North Alliance, and they have you talked with them about your opinion piece or about residents being festival fatigued? I mean, the city permits a lot of these things. I don't know that the actual Short North Alliance has much control over what happens. I mean, they don't own Goodale Park, but have you talked with the Alliance about your opinion?
No, I haven't, but that's a great idea for a next step. I know Betsy and have collaborated with her on our High Street development. So yeah, that's again a great point. I should reach out to her.
So I mean, I would assume she has some say in certain things, but the city does permit these. And so you said you've talked with City Attorney Zach Klein about a few things. Have you talked with City Council at all about being festival fatigued?
No, but that's a great idea. I'll reach out to Shannon this afternoon.
Well, there you go. So is there anything else you wanted to add about the Short North and, you know, future festivals just before we end?
No, actually, I'm really I'm glad. Thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
We've been talking with David Hunanya, an activist, a developer, and a Short North resident. He wrote an opinion piece for Columbus Underground asking if the Short North is experiencing festival fatigue. David, thank you so much for joining us for All
Thank you
Sides.
too.
And coming up, we're going to talk about what goes into planning events in the Short North. That is when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Planet Money helps you understand the economy. We find the people at the center of the story.
Garbage in New York, that was like a controlled substance.
We show you how money influences everything.
Tell me what you like by telling me how you spend your money.
And we dig until we get answers.
I had a bad feeling you were going to bring that up.
Planet Money finds out. All you have to do is listen. The Planet Money Podcast from NPR.
Businesses that sponsor WOSU find a loyal audience that trusts public media. When your business is a WOSU sponsor, you break through the noise of everyday advertising to plainly say, we care about the things you care about. Honest reporting, advocacy for the arts, clever entertainment, and civil discourse. Your business can use WOSU TV and radio, our website, and newsletters to reach this potent audience. Learn more at wosu.org/support.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. Hops on High, Comfest, the Arnold Sports Festival are just some of the annual events taking place in the Short North. These events attract visitors and boost the local economy. But these events also require additional public safety, rerouting of traffic, and more. And this can take a toll on the patience of Short North residents. We're talking this hour about whether all these events can lead to festival fatigue. Joining us now to talk about the economic importance of festivals to the city and specifically to the Short North is the executive director of the Short North Alliance, Betsy Pandora. Welcome to All Sides, Betsy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, on average, do you know how many events take place in the Short North that require rerouting traffic around High Street, that require like extra work?
There are several dozen that take place throughout any given year within our community that are what you would think of as, you know, truly festivals. But there's lots of other activity that takes place in our community that maybe fits outside those bounds, too. We have the Greater Columbus Convention Center that we benefit from having in our community that continuously is bringing in a high volume of visitors into the neighborhood that, you know, sometimes also involves some special accommodations because of those large visits that emanate from such a great facility.
So it's not all just big festivals in Goodale Park, but it's also lots of people all at the convention center all at once that impacts the neighborhood.
We really do. We welcome people from a lot of places to this particular area of Columbus. And, you know, historically, Amy, this has always been the front door to Columbus. I mean, going back into the late 1800s, you know, the way that you would enter the region would be through Old Union Station by train into this part of Central Ohio. And so this history and this legacy of being a place and space where people come to celebrate, where people come to showcase, where people experience what it is to be in Central Ohio and in the community of Columbus, it's interwoven into our DNA.
From your perspective, how important are all of these events, the dozens of events that you do have for the economy and from a tourism perspective?
Events are key. And, you know, whether they happen in a festival environment or they happen in, you know, a little bit lower impact environment. In general, across the entirety of the year, the Short North generates $3.8 billion in total economic impact for the region. And there's probably a good amount of that that is driven by tourism and specifically by celebratory festival-like activity that takes place in and around our community.
Do you know the economic boost something like a Comfest or Hops on High or even the Christmas market bring to the area? Do you study how much it helps the economy each event?
Yeah, it's so hard to isolate that. And a lot of that has to do with the behavior of customers. So sometimes customers are, you know, are patrons across the neighborhood on the day of an event. Sometimes those things are really about helping people develop and build deeper relationships with the Short North as an economic marketplace. So that event may draw somebody in and get them curious, and then they may repeat their behavior and come back and have their economic impact have legs to it after the fact. So it's hard for us to analyze per event what each impact would be, but we know that across the entirety of the year, there is sizable visitorship in the Short North. This past year, we saw over 10 million annual visitors to the neighborhood.
10 million. All right. Speaking of that, bringing people in, last year, the results of a study conducted by the Short North Alliance revealed that suburbanites are less likely to visit the area. What are some of the reasons they cited that keep them away from the Short North?
Well, you know, a lot of that had to do with changes in the way in which people are working. We've seen a lot of shifts in people's behavior, more working from home activity, and a lot of what is required to continue to re-engage the totality of the region and the urban core, and as well as in the Short North, are special events and experiences that really draw people in and invite them to engage in a community like the Short North, where maybe their everyday isn't spent as frequently anymore.
Do you feel like it's more people from the suburbs aren't coming in because of that homebody attitude and they want to stay where they are? Or is it also safety? Do they have this idea in their head that going to the Short North is not safe?
You know, there's a lot of factors. And, you know, I think other factors involved are people have lots of opportunities across so many neighborhoods and areas of Columbus to experience lots of things. So when we're trying to help people discover the Short North again, if they've lapsed in their discovery of it, having great creative experiences and certainly conveniences like parking and sense of safety shape everyone's visit, regardless of what place you go to. But all of those things matter. And when we did do that study and when we surveyed folks, one of the things that they articulated would really draw them to visit more is actually more special events.
Mm. So you also have a proposed plan to have some businesses charge an extra fee on purchases to create a fund, and you'll use that fund for safety and beautification. Why did you feel the need to go that route with this fee? Is that the right way to go?
Well, there are a lot of best practices that we've taken a look at. And one of the things that we know is we need to be doing more to really help care for and sustain the community in the Short North. And so one of the best practices that we have seen for how to do that and do that well that's emerged is implementing a program like you've described. So we're really excited about the opportunity for that program to really help enhance safety, enhance cleanliness, and enhance the creativity that people can experience when they come to the Short North community.
Are we calling it a fee, not a tax?
You know, it's really a community reinvestment initiative. And it's, you know, we think something that will be a really helpful and additive program for our community. It's not a tax. Taxes are enacted under the Ohio tax code. They are there's some requirements for how that tax structure plays out that are not a part of this particular effort. And, you know, we think that it is really something that is going to enhance the positive experience that people are so excited by in the Short North.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about whether the number of events taking place in the Short North can lead to festival fatigue with Betsy Pandora, executive director of the Short North Alliance. So have you heard concerns from Short North residents and businesses about too many events taking place in the Short North, too many times of having more police, too many times of diverting traffic, especially if the event doesn't have an immediate connection to that part of the city?
Well, I think it's important to acknowledge, you know, any feedback or worldview over events in the community if there is a concern about them. And certainly there are some disruptions that take place as a result of having event activity in the community. And the feelings of those who have those feelings are absolutely valid. But what we have seen is that in terms of the numbers, we're seeing somewhat of the opposite of fatigue. We're seeing strong attendance at events and festivals, and we continue to see a community that wants to show up for these types of experiences. You know, I think what's really interesting is Columbus has continuously been ranked as a top place for festivals nationally. Mm-hmm. And it really is in many ways something that people come to recognize as being a component of the identity of the city, and in many ways is sort of foundational to a lot of the identity of the Short North community too. A lot of the festivals and events that we see in the Short North community, many of them have a really long tenure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, I think that people come to choose to live in the community and are excited to be in the community because of those tenured experiences, but also because the community's creative roots are always finding ways for that creativity to expand in the community.
I mean, could some of the events, I mean, you have a lot of events, could some of them be moved elsewhere, you know, spread the wealth to other parts of the city, or does the Short North want them all?
You know, I think we're seeing events happen everywhere, and not all events within the city of Columbus are certainly taking place in the Short North community. But I think that what is exciting about our community is we are a place where people want to be and where people experience a sense of connection. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, the Short North really is a very welcoming and inclusive community. And I think if there are, you know, the reasons why we see people have such excitement for wanting to be a part of that community is to experience that energy.
Do you feel like, I mean, for residents who live there, though, I would have to think that, like, parking their car and driving around or being able to move about on certain weekends is harder than others. Could you understand? Can you empathize with some residents who may have festival fatigue?
We totally do. You have to. And, you know, I think what's, you know, really important to acknowledge is I don't know that the concern is wholly about the festival or the creative experiences in large numbers that you can find here in the Short North community. I think a lot of the concern really stems from those byproducts of what having large moments of visitorship means in an area that is a really dense and compressed area like the Short North. And, you know, I think a lot of those concerns stem from how that visitorship is engaged in the community, what advanced planning looks like, and where, you know, if anything, there are really some strong opportunities for different types of coordination and collaboration on how the events that are here have established best practices, events that desire to continue to experience being here in new ways could benefit from enhanced best practices. And there really is an opportunity there for maybe more to be done, especially as Columbus is continuing to grow and experience more people and more things and a demand for more things.
We spoke earlier with a resident who wrote an opinion piece for Columbus Underground, and he is experiencing festival fatigue. He's a resident, and he said that he doesn't mind, you know, Pride, Comfest, the Doodah Parade. Those are tried and true Short North events. But then when something is added in like Taco Fest, he feels like that's not a part of the neighborhood vibe, and it's just an added in and maybe like an example of an annoyance.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think a lot of that feeling really does have to do with the way in which there is community engagement, or there could be more opportunities for community engagement in events and activities.
So do you have like, I don't know, does the Short North have like a forum where residents can like give their opinion on how things are going, or how, you know, like the police presence, the beautification, all this stuff that you're going to do with this fee that you want to add? Can residents weigh in?
Absolutely. And, you know, many festivals take place in the Short North, but I think it's also important to clarify the manner in which festivals play out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's important to understand that it's really the city of Columbus that handles all of the approvals and permitting. You know, within the community as an organization, the Short North Alliance can help support community engagement and does so rigorously and is always committed to working in partnership both with the city or event organizers or being stewards of feedback in our community to ensure that lots of things are successful here and reflective of our neighborhood, inclusive of events. But we actually as an organization don't have the ability, capacity, or authority to control how any of those types of things take place here. All of that goes through approvals issued by the city of Columbus. So, you know, if anything, I think there's a great opportunity for a different kind of collaboration in the event planning process, and maybe one that borrows from some of the best practices that larger cities are seeing and experiencing, especially ones who have encountered the level of pressure in terms of growth that Columbus is experiencing.
So is it the city with the help of public safety? Are they the ones who decide whether a road is closed or not, whether they don't allow cars because of the event and that kind of thing?
Absolutely. All of those things are a part of the city of Columbus's purview through the event process.
And I just, before we end, I wanted to circle back to adding the fee for certain businesses. You want to create a fund for safety and beautification. Did you feel like, does the city of Columbus need an extra boost from you guys with the safety part? Or is it just from the Short North Alliance perspective, when you talk about safety, like, what are you thinking? You're not talking about funding extra officers. Are you talking about other safety?
You know, there are lots of things taking place in the Short North community every single day that as we grow, we have opportunities to enhance the way in which we can support safety in the community. So lots of practices from other areas involve things like utilizing enhanced camera techniques, enhanced personnel. And so there are lots of ways in which we can be a collaborator to the city of Columbus in enhancing overall safety. And some of that shows up under the guise of the special event process or the very busy summer season that we often experience here in the Short North community, where we need to increase personnel and resources and things like ambassadors to be able to really help deal with the growth and the volume of things that we see in the community.
And have you ever talked with the city about just the idea whenever there's an influx of a lot of people in the Short North, just getting rid of cars altogether, making more of it a completely walking part of the neighborhood?
You know, it's such a fascinating suggestion. And it's really interesting, too, when you observe the visitorship patterns in the Short North community, you know, whether there's an event taking place directly in the community or whether the city is alive, like it will be this coming weekend where you've got arenas packed with sporting events and a concert at Ohio Stadium and things that are taking place outside of the neighborhood, we often still experience swells of visitorship when other things are taking place that aren't necessarily shutting down the streets here or occurring here. We're a very highly visited area, and we have a lot of people that live here, and all of that involves a need for enhanced levels of collaboration and coordination all the time. So we speak regularly and continuously as an organization with the city of Columbus about ways in which we can enhance the experience, the sense of safety, the connectivity, and really the ease of concerns for residents on many fronts. So, you know, something like the program that we've been initiating can certainly be an additive and helpful tool, but wouldn't necessarily be the only thing that helps to support the growing demands that we're all experiencing as a city on the rise.
We've been talking with Betsy Pandora, Executive Director of the Short North Alliance. Thank you for joining us on All Sides today.
Thank you.
And coming up, we're going to talk about public safety logistics when it comes to festival planning. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Mm-hmm. Planet Money helps you understand the economy. We find the people at the center of the story.
Garbage in New York, that was like a controlled substance.
We show you how money influences everything.
Tell me what you like by telling me how you spend your money.
And we dig until we get answers.
I had a bad feeling you're going to bring that up.
Planet Money finds out. All you have to do is listen. The Planet Money podcast from NPR.
It's summer fun for everyone. Join WOSU at family community events and festivals all summer long. Have your picture taken with beloved PBS characters, do a craft, show your WOSU spirit, and win prizes. For all dates and locations, visit our events page, wosu.org/events. We can't wait to meet you.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. From Taco Fest to Calm Fest, we're talking about whether the Short North, and Columbus for that matter, has become festival fatigued. While they provide a chance to highlight the city and offer an economic boost, festivals can also take a toll on the patience of residents. These events require additional public safety considerations, from extra police presence to the rerouting of traffic. Bringing thousands of people and their cars to the tighter streets of downtown requires organization and planning. Lots of planning. And joining us now to talk about the logistics of festival planning is Alexis Perrone, director of the Columbus Arts Festival. Welcome to All Sides, Alexis.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So you are in charge of planning one of Columbus's biggest, most successful yearly events in the city, the Arts Festival. Congratulations on a successful festival just a few weeks ago.
Thank you so much.
And I think the weather also cooperated with you this year, too.
For the most part. There was a little bit of threat of rain on, and we got one little shower on Friday. But for the most part, it was blue skies, sunny days, and lots of art buying.
Yes, a big win. So what goes into planning such a large-scale event like the Columbus Arts Festival? Where do you start? When do you start?
So I always like to say planning for the next year begins in the middle of the current year.
Mm.
And truly, by the time I hit 2025's festival, I have a list going of things that I'm going to change or do differently or adjust for 26 already heading into 25. And so the planning is truly continuous. It is very year-round, especially for the festival of our size. There are so many things to consider, and we truly build a small city in the middle of the city in 3 days,
mm-hmm.
and then make it all disappear in a few hours. So it's a tremendous amount of effort and logistics and planning and input from city partners, from volunteers, from staff. It is definitely not a one-person show.
Yeah. And so when you're determining the footprint of a festival like the Columbus Arts Festival, do you determine or do you work with the city? How do you decide what roads you're closing and when?
No, that's a great question. We go in with what we think the festival should look like. So we have an entire map planned out. Here's where the majority of the tents should be. Here's where the best places to put food are. Here's the most accessible places to put restrooms. And we present that plan with that footprint and whatever amount of room we take up, and we present it to the city.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, what do you think about this? And then there's lots of back and forth, lots of questions asked to get the permit approved. So mm-hmm. it's definitely not like, here's what I'm doing and I hope you all enjoy. There's definitely a collaborative back and forth with the city. And the timing of when we close streets is based on how long does it take to safely build the site.
Mm.
So we're pretty much closing those streets Wednesday at noon. And that is like the last possible moment we can close those streets and still build all those tents and finish running that electric and run all that water and get those restrooms dropped and get the trash and the dumpsters in place. So it's and get all the stages built. So it is really like it is timed like here's the least amount we can inconvenience the city while we put ourselves together.
And do you know how the city determines resources for an event like yours? Whenever it comes to maybe something like additional public safety staffing that's needed, do they talk to you about that or do they figure out how many police officers are needed?
For us, we have a really great relationship with the Columbus Police Department. We work specifically with officers and sergeants that are familiar with our event. And we discuss, like I will start discussing my layout with them in the fall, late fall, early winter.
9 months ahead.
Nine months ahead of time. We will start discussing the layout and we'll start looking at how many officers do we need for streets? How many officers do we need for roaming? How many officers do we need for overnight? And we'll have those conversations together to determine what those right amounts for public safety are and presence and having those folks on site. We also have those discussions with CFD as well. So that way we know.
The Columbus Fire Department. Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you yeah. for correcting me. Speaking so many like letters.
Yeah.
But I'll have conversations with them about where should EMS be placed? How, you know, how long should they be on site? Like what kind of services can they offer? So that way all elements of public safety are covered.
And you don't just need police officers for safety and for security, but you also need them to help you with the road closures. Is that what they do that too?
Absolutely.
So are they the ones, like, do they set up the barriers for you
mm-hmm.
and the police department does that?
Yeah. So the police department in conjunction with the city of Columbus help determine where barriers go. And we're part of that conversation as well, because we also need to make sure that we can load people in and out of the site, but also that the site is safe and secure. So it is truly a team conversation on picking where those things go. And then the city of Columbus Police Department move them into place.
Do you ever have to pay attention? I mean, you're the bigger event, so you probably get the preference, but do you have to pay attention to other events happening around the city on that same day? If there's something happening maybe in the Short North or the Arena District when you're having your festival?
Oh, absolutely. Because you want to be cognizant of how you're communicating to your attendees, how they can get to your event. So we try to push alternative travel and using public transit, biking down. We have a bike corral so people can utilize that, because we want to be aware, like, oh, is there an event on the west side? Maybe we should tell people, like, try some of the east side garages, be cognizant of this other event. But it's also a positive too, because if you plan it correctly, then you can say, look at all these great things going on downtown. Come down this weekend and you can go to all of them. Just park here and walk around. Enjoy. Dora. Mm-hmm. Yay.
While you're here for an event at the Palace Theater, come down to the Arts Festival.
Exactly. Right. And while you're here at the Columbus Arts Festival, go up to the Columbus Commons where they're having events at that time, or Gay Street where they're having events at that time. So I think sometimes the events draft off of each other. And that can be really, really smart, right? Because then you're just promoting this one big weekend downtown.
What are some of the biggest safety concerns you have when planning the arts festival? Is it just the sheer number of people and you need security?
I think everyone's safety concerns are everyone's safety concerns. Yeah. I don't think mine are unique to any event in this city or any other city. And in talking to fellow planners in other cities, it's always the same thing. You need people to be able to help you close the roads and safely close the roads and prevent car incursion. You need people who are roaming around and making sure that everyone is, you know, being safe and there's no need for any police intervention anywhere. And and really, like, our crowds are wonderful in Columbus. Like, our artists always talk about how polite our crowds are, how nice everyone is, how they feel like everyone is here in Columbus because they see so many different people represented at the festival. It's a very open and accessible festival, and we like to keep it that way. And our artists talk about that a lot, that they see, like, wow, the community comes out for this festival.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about festival planning, safety, and event planning logistics with Alexis Perrone, director of the Columbus Arts Festival. Now, I mentioned earlier that for events downtown, you're bringing thousands of people from all over Central Ohio and beyond, and they're also bringing their cars. So talk to me about parking a little bit. How do you figure out where to put the cars?
We have an entire page on our website that talks about where to put your car, and we highlight all the new parking garages that are downtown, some of the older parking garages that are downtown, because the peninsula had a very large influx of new garages built within the last year. So educating the public about, like, hey, you may have always parked here, but now you can park there. But also educating people on, like, if you're going to use rideshare, here's where you should drop off. If you're going to use your bike, like I mentioned, like, we have a bike corral that you can use. Here's the CODA bus lines that are going to take you right past us. Trying to mitigate some of that influx of cars, but also knowing, I mean, like, we are a very large city. We have a lot of parking garages. And if you aren't afraid just to walk just a little bit, you can get to the festival just fine. But I always tell people, including our artists, pack your patience for the day because there may be some traffic because I have a few roads closed.
Yeah. So do you feel like there is enough parking in and around, like, the area where you have, or do you wish that you had access to more parking? If you were able to build, you know, the perfect parking garage, right?
Thank you so much for asking me that. I have an immediate answer. My perfect parking solution would include a fully accessible lot for those that are coming to visit our festival who have handicap placards, who are coming with people who have mobility devices, who are people with limited mobility. Mm-hmm. So I could point them all to one area and say, park here so you're close to the festival and you don't have to worry about finding parking.
And you don't have that right now.
Okay. No. And I would
someone who has an empty lot near Franklinton, reach out.
Reach out. Yeah. Taking calls. Yeah. Slide in my DMs. Thank you. Yeah. I want to create that solution for the people because not everyone can make that trek from a parking garage that's a little bit farther away and walk. Like some people need to be able to access the festival. They need a closer parking option. And right now I don't have that in my toolkit.
Do you have a capacity? Like if there's beautiful, perfect weather, more people come. Is there like, you can't like count the people, but is there like a capacity of what a festival can handle?
We try to regulate that by making sure we have a ton of food trucks. So I guess backing up, I don't think we have a capacity, but we listen to the feedback from people, right? Like the restrooms started to need cleaned a second time, usually around this time. So boom. Okay, we know that. This is when the trash starts to pile up. So okay, the trash team's on top of that. This is when typically crowds start to swell and we maybe need an additional water source. So we work with the city to bring WET, which is their free water source. So we try to turn some of our logistical handles to manage those crowds when they do swell. Like a couple years ago, it was like, oh wow, there were long lines for food. Well, now we have a ton of food options. So we are always listening to that feedback of when the festival starts to peak with its capacity and see, okay, how can we improve on that next year to mitigate some of that negative experience that could come with a high crowd. But I think we really listen to our people so that we can fix those things. Or that's kind of like the invisible logistic hand that's always at work behind a festival when you're enjoying a festival. Like, don't really see us, but trust us, we're working on it.
Yeah. We spoke earlier in the hour with a Short North resident, and he wrote an opinion piece for Columbus Underground about being festival fatigued. He says there's too many festivals, too many races in the Short North, and he wants to spread the wealth to other parts of the city. The arts festival that you plan is partly downtown. It also includes part of Franklinton. Do you ever hear frustration from downtown residents or Franklinton residents?
I think it's all about the communication. So we'll have, when you apply for a permit for an area, you have to go get signatures before the city will grant your permit. So those residents and businesses that are affected by your road closures have to sign off on your permit.
Oh,
so
okay.
So you were approved to be there by them. We do a lot of communication with those partners. We send them a press release right before the festival. We send them kind of like a mock-up, even when we're in the beginning stages of our mock-up map, and say, hey, here's what the map's going to look like. It's going to be similar to last year. Here's when closures are going to happen. And we give them that information ahead of time so they can start to plan themselves for their businesses, or if their apartment complexes, start to inform their residents of like, okay, here's how I'm going to have to maneuver while this event comes into our space, entertains us for 3 days and leaves.
So do you have to get signatures every year?
Mm-hmm.
So you
every
have to go
year.
Every year to, is it just resident? Is it businesses and residents or?
All affected buildings in the area. So whether it's residents or a commercial building, we have to go get the signatures from, and we have to get about 80% signatures of everyone that you're going to affect signing off and saying it's okay.
So to close the road.
To close the road.
Okay.
So we work really hard to communicate with those folks, and we start gathering those signatures again in January. Mm-hmm. So that way we're giving these folks plenty of notice, like a 6 month like notice of like, hey, we're coming. Here's what the preliminary map's going to look like. Would you mind signing our permit?
So I guess the festivals that are in the Short North that are fatiguing the resident we talked to, they would have to get signatures too to close the roads, right?
It's the city process that we all have to go through.
Okay. So over the years, have you noticed people becoming more frustrated or less frustrated? Do you feel like they now know this is when the arts festival is and this is where it is and they know?
I think we benefit from the consistency of being in the same place on or around the same weekend, so people know to expect us. And I think some of the festivals that have that kind of consistency, you don't always have to be re-educating everyone in that area that you're coming. They know. They know every time around this year, the Arts Festival is going to be on the downtown riverfront entertaining you for three fabulous days. So they're aware of us. And that awareness and that constant communication, I think, smooths over any of those irritating feelings. Because, like, I get it. I'm closing the road in front of your building. I understand. Luckily, there's a back road you can go down. Yeah. So that way we can still have the fabulous festival.
Are there some people who have to move their cars for the full weekend? I don't, like, park somewhere else because they won't be able to get in and out.
We work with the Columbus Cultural Arts Center really mm-hmm. closely because we kind of encompass their entire building.
Box them in, yeah.
I box them in. Yeah. So we work with them to make sure they can still operate and they have their classes and they have their gift shop open and people get to enjoy and experience whatever art show is up in their gallery at the same time as the festival. And that way it becomes, you know, while the parking might have to shift for those days, the presence of the festival allows them to still operate and brings people into their operations. So it's all about collaborating with those partners around you.
So we have about a minute left. Mm-hmm. The festival for next year already planned. It's same place, same time.
Pretty much. Yeah. June 12th, 13th, and 14th of 2026 on the fabulous downtown riverfront. And we hope to see all of Columbus there.
And will again. It be, do you ever, will it be the same exact road closures? Or do you ever like change the footprint of the festival a little bit?
We change based on need or construction.
Oh, okay. You're right.
So as long as there's
always construction,
no construction,
right?
I'll close a very similar footprint because it's also a footprint that really works for our artists. Mm. We basically keep them in a ring across the east and west side, and that is so productive for them and all the attendees to see the great art.
All right. Well, we have been talking about the logistics that come into play when planning a festival with Alexis Perrone, director of the Columbus Arts Festival. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And you've been listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich.